produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, a very good day to all of you listeners out there. This is our regular weekly radio program where we just talk about the principles of God and see how we can use those principles to align and connect with our kingdom purpose and the kingdom agenda of heaven. Hallelujah. Wonderful day today, and I'm sending you love and greetings from Pretoria, the capital of South Africa, where I reside. And today, the message that the Lord has dropped into my heart, imparted into my spirit, is the message that has to do with inquiring of the Lord. Inquiring of the Lord. This is an old message that I preached many, many years ago. I'm sure it's more than 15 years old. And it's a message that has proved to be particularly helpful in my life. And I wanted to be able to share some of those principles with you. And I pray that they'll also be helpful to you in your life as you listen to them and as you apply them. Principles of God will always be helpful. And so it's inquiring of the Lord. And I want to start off first by setting a foundation and saying that, you know, Yeshua told his disciples to pray. In fact, they asked him, how should we pray? And in responding to them, this is what Yeshua said. He gave them the Lord's Prayer, you know, and this is a prayer which many of us pray often, but we pray it religiously without applying our minds and understanding to the pattern that was being set in the prayer. It wasn't that we should pray the prayer and just recite it, but there's a pattern that we must pray, understanding who the Father is, who we're praying to, and what we're praying for. And in part, as part of the Lord's Prayer, one of the things he taught them, a very, very key and important principle, was contained in Matthew 6:10. And in that, it was talking about thy will be done. So, you know, we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So one of the key aspects is praying for his kingdom to come and also his will to be done. And that is for his will also to be done, not only in the nations, not only in the cities, but primarily and first most in our lives. So we must pray for his will to be done in our lives. And for us to be able to effectively pray for his will to be done in our lives, we have to constantly and consistently seek his face and inquire of him, what is his will? And that's why today we're talking about inquiring of the Lord, because when we inquire of the Lord, it enables us to know what his will for our lives, for our cities, for our families, for our nations, for our government, it enables us to know what his will is. As I've said, this is a prayer I've prayed for decades, and literally, I do not believe I'm exaggerating when I say that this prayer has literally saved my life, inquiring of the Lord, knowing when to inquire. We have to consistently inquire of the Lord, and it has ensured also that I stay on the path, God's path. Hearing him and hearing his will for my life has ensured that I don't stray, I don't deviate from his path. So it's of, you know, vital importance that we inquire of the Lord. And there are many things that we need to inquire of the Lord over time and every day. You know, we need to inquire of the Lord many things, knowing what he wants concerning our ministry life, knowing what he wants, inquiring about of the Lord around our children, inquiring of the Lord around our relationships, inquiring of the Lord about so many things. And one of the things I've even learned, you know, as basic as it may seem very basic and very, you know, kind of not really complicated, but I inquire of the Lord. I've learned to inquire of the Lord almost pretty much everything, including even invitations. So if you invite me, it's not an automatic, yes, I'm coming, or yes, I'll do it. I've learned to pray over even invitations. And I've got to tell you, beloveds, I turn down many invitations that I receive Some of the invitations look very, very, you know, big invitations with big people inviting you and all sorts of things. But I turned them down simply because God has not released me. And I've turned down many offers. I've turned down job offers. I've turned down many partnerships that people have offered me because the Lord told me that this is not a partnership you need to be in. Because remember, he taught us in 2 Corinthians 6:14 not to be unequally yoked. So when we are unequally yoked with people who do not have the same value, and because the devil is an angel, he disguises himself as an angel of light, it's not going to be obvious what their value system is. So even when it comes to invitations, I've turned down many invitations. And what we do not know and do not understand, the reason why some of us can maybe go for every offer that we're given, is we lack understanding that the enemy is actually behind many of these offers. It's not just God who gives you offers, but the enemy who disguises himself as an angel of light, who pretends to be a lion and he's not. The enemy will often disguise himself and he's behind many of these offers. And this is what happens. He does it to derail, to distract, to take us off of our destination path. Because when the devil cannot stop you, his plan B will always be to derail you or to delay you, or to take you off track. And he will do this by packaging what looks to be a very lucrative offer, attractive offer, and he'll package it very lucratively. And if you and I are not aware, we will think that, wow, this is actually, you know, this is the Lord. This is coming from God. So we have to be very, very careful. And he'll do that with ministry offers. He'll do that with job employment offers. He'll do that with even relationship offers and marriage offers. Some of us have been deceived to enter into wrong marriages because the marriage looked lucrative. It looked like this was the one. And that marriage, you know, just completely, almost completely destroyed us. And it was because we did not inquire of the Lord. So that was just to set a foundation around that. And I hope and I pray that by the end of this sharing, that you and I will begin to think very seriously about, do I really inquire of the Lord? Do I inquire of him around what partnerships to take, what initiatives to be a part of? Or do I just take everything that's offered to me because I want to be a part of everything and it looks great and it looks like, you know, I'm going to be branded in this. So we want to be careful of that. And very carefully, everything that is offered to us, regardless of what it is, let us begin to examine and inquire of the Lord. Because especially in this season, the enemy is really moving around as a roaring lion and trying to tempt us to get entangled. You know, there's a new word, a very word that's trending called entangled. So entanglement. So sometimes the enemy will want you to get caught up in an entanglement, which is very difficult to extricate oneself from. So I want us to talk about inquiring of the Lord. What does it entail? How do we do it? You know, why do we do it? What are the implications of not inquiring of the Lord? And in kickstarting this discussion, I want to talk about David, King David in the Bible, because King David often inquired of the Lord. And we're going to go through scriptures showing that, you know, it was pretty much a lifestyle for King David to inquire of the Lord. However, I also do want to say that he was not perfect in inquiring of the Lord. He slipped. He slipped once or twice. He slipped a few times. And if you go to 2 Samuel 11:3, we will read about one of those times when he kind of messed up and he didn't inquire of the Lord. And we'll just read that scripture and see, you know, how it turned out. So 2 Samuel 11:3 says, "So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, 'Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?'" So here was an inquiry that David was making. It was not an inquiry to the Lord. And it was not an inquiry really that was, you know, that had anything to do with where or what David should have been doing. So David was inquiring after the woman, and he was inquiring from a person a human being. He didn't inquire of the Lord, but he was inquiring to somebody else. It says, and someone said. So David made it, that inquiry to a someone. To a someone. So I want to ask and challenge you, who are you inquiring from? Because who you inquire from is very, very important. Many of us, our first source of inquiry, we don't go to God to inquire. We don't go to Him as the first point of inquiring. Many of us will go to the tabloids. Maybe many of us will go to the news first, you know, open the daily news. And we inquire from the media, and yet there's so many fake news out there. So that's my question to you, is who are you inquiring from? And what you are inquiring about is important. You know, David was inquiring about a woman, but most often when he inquired of the Lord, he was inquiring and trying to get instructions around warfare, how to save his people, how to ensure that he wins the battle that God has placed before him. So who you inquire from, beloved, is very important, and what you inquire about is very important. So sometimes you can inquire from wrong sources, wrong people, and people will tell you things that are not true, and people will feed your flesh and carnality, and some will even tell you that maybe your assigned destiny helpers are jealous of you. They'll tell you things like that. That, oh, no, this person is not out for your good. They're jealous and they see you as a threat and they're intimidated by you. That's a prophetic word right there for somebody. That was by the Spirit of the Lord. Talking right now. So if you're out there and somebody has been trying to sever you from your destiny helper and tell you that that person is jealous of you, they're intimidated by your success, well, receive the word as a word from the Lord. Hallelujah. So David was inquiring, but who are you inquiring from? It's very important, because some of the people who will give you wrong information have been assigned by the enemy to make sure that they cut you off from destiny helpers, and they cut you off from people who have been assigned to actually help you in life. So who you inquire from is important. What you inquire about is important. And if you inquire about the wrong things, it can take you off track, like it did with David. He got on a Bathsheba track. And, you know, at that time, all the other men, the Bible tells us that all the other men were actually in war. So when you are supposed to be somewhere else, you may be busy inquiring about other things when you were supposed to have been assigned to be somewhere else and inquiring about something else. So yeah, be careful who you inquire from. Be careful what you inquire about, because honestly speaking, there are some things that you have no business inquiring about. So as we move on, whenever David inquired of the Lord, one of the things I noticed happen is that he always stayed out of trouble. So let me tell you, beloveds, when you inquire of the Lord and He gives you directions, which are from Him, because it is also possible to hear that which is not from Him. Many times we impose our own hearing because we want to hear something and we say the Lord said and it was not Him. So when we inquire of Him and we hear His instructions, then it will keep us out of trouble. It keeps you out of trouble. God will never lead you to a place where you'll be annihilated. You know, even if you get to a place where it's challenging, it may be challenging, but because God has led you there, He's already provided a way of escape, escaping the snare. He's already provided protection and provision for you in that time. So let's read 1 Samuel 23, verse 2. And it reads as follows. It says, therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack these Philistines? And the Lord said to David, go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah. So that's one instance we see where David inquired of the Lord, asking him, what should I do? Should I go and attack? God said, go and save Keilah. Again, two verses down below again, 1 Samuel 23 in verse 4. Here we see David inquiring of the Lord again. And it says, then David inquired of the Lord once again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand. Well, you know, beloved, some of us, we inquired of the Lord one time, maybe 30 years ago, 1990 or something was the last time we inquired of the Lord, and we think it's a one-stop exercise. No, inquiring of the Lord must be constant, must be consistent. Every day when we wake up, there must be some level of communicating with God. And when you have your morning devotions and prayers and evening at night, they must always include some aspect and element of inquiring of God, not just, you know, demanding what you want of him or bringing a grocery list of prayers. But let your morning devotion be a morning devotion where you inquire of the Lord. Lord, what would you have me do? Let's not enter into a presumptuous mode or presumptuous, area where we think we know already what God wants us to do. What he wants us to do for this day may be different from what he wanted us to do yesterday. So inquiring of the Lord is very important. Just having inquired of him 2 years ago or 6 months ago is not sufficient. Let it be a daily thing that we do as we speak to God in prayer, as we worship him. Let your worship and prayer include inquiring of the Lord and looking for his will for your life for that particular day. So again, we see another example of David inquiring of the Lord again in 1 Samuel 30, verse 8. And it says again, so David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. So God answered David. He told him, go ahead, pursue. You will overtake them and you'll without fail recover all. So, and you know what happened? If you read the whole account, we know that that's exactly what happened. David did with his men. He did overtake them. He did recover without fail. They recovered all. And so when you inquire of the Lord and you hear him correctly and not hear what you want to hear, then you will definitely, fulfill what God said. When you inquire of him, you will do exactly what he said. And you will fulfill what he told you, the purpose. You know, God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he should, actually regress against his word. So he does not fail to fulfill his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, and then we go to 2 Samuel 5, verse 19. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, here's another example, great example. Here's David inquiring. He said, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. And he did. And beloved, it's very important that when we inquire of the Lord and he speaks back to us, that we don't ignore what he said. That maybe, sometimes you can inquire of the Lord and you may get a response that you do not particularly want. So when we inquire of the Lord, let's make sure that we're ready to obey him, to hear what he's saying and obey him. Don't just inquire of the Lord as a way of a formality, just to tick the box and say, well, I did ask him. And then when he responds, you don't follow up with what he told you to do. And we're going to look at another example because I just want you to see how constant and consistent David was in inquiring of the Lord. In 2 Samuel 5:23. Here's David again, once again. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, and he said, this is what God said. He said, this time you shall not go up. Circle around behind them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. Now, remember in 2 Samuel 5:19, David had inquired of the Lord, asking them, shall I go up against the Philistines? And God said, yes, you go, and I will deliver them into your hand. 4 verses later, David is in a different situation, but he doesn't say, most of us would have said, oh, well, I just defeated the Philistines. I just took them out. And most of us would have just gone ahead with the same assumption that, well, I just took out the Philistines. God said to go up, so I'm still going to go up. David did not do that. New situation. He didn't assume that because last time God told me to, go up. He didn't assume that just because the last time, recent victory, just because I won, I won the battle this way. He didn't assume that it's going to happen the same way. Some of us make that mistake, that because God led us to do something this way, that he's going to use the same way. No, it's important to keep inquiring of the Lord for different situations, different circumstances. God may give you a different plan. God may give you a different strategy. God may give you a different battle plan. You know, so it's important that we inquire of the Lord each time. And this time, God did not tell him, go up. This time, God did not say to do what he did last time. He said, this time you shall not go up. But this time there's a different strategy. He said, circle around behind them and then come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. So this is why it's so important for us to inquire of the Lord, because God can give us different strategies. God can give us different plans of action. God can give us different battle plans. Sometimes God will even say, you don't go, you stay there. Let me fight the battle. Let me do it on your behalf. And he certainly did that sometimes in David's life, that, listen, you chill, you relax, chillax, stay here. I'm going to fight this one. You just sit down, sit back and take it easy. So it's so important, beloveds, that we inquire of the Lord. So whenever David checked in, like I said, he wasn't perfect. There were instances where he did inquire, but he didn't inquire of the Lord, and he was inquiring about the wrong things. But whenever he checked in with God first and inquired and got instructions, he always won. He always was positioned for victory. Victory comes when we inquire of the Lord, when we listen to what he has to say and hear what he has to say, and when we apply and implement his instructions. So inquiry of the Lord has many levels. It's not just about asking. It's about asking. It's about listening and hearing. Because do you know that it's possible to listen, but not hear? Many of us listen, but sometimes we don't hear. I see that sometimes, you know, you can talk to somebody and you can hear that they're listening to the words, but they're not hearing and understanding what you're saying. So when we inquire of the Lord, it means that we must listen, but it also means that we must hear what he is saying. And then after hearing comes understanding, and after understanding now comes implementation. May God help you and I to do that, to continuously and consistently inquire of the Lord over everything, over the ministry work we have to do, over our assignments, regarding our family, regarding our relationships. May God continuously and consistently get us into a culture and lifestyle. And may we also be disciplined, because God is not going to supernaturally hit you over the head to do it. But you yourself must conscientiously and consciously make that decision to control flesh, to subdue flesh, that even if your flesh would want to enter into that partnership, would want to enter into that relationship, even if your flesh is actually flattered by the fact that you've been asked to do something, we need to crucify that flesh long enough to ask God and to be able to inquire of him, to say, Lord, is this for me? Is this partnership, is this relationship for me? Or is this a trap? Is this to derail me and take me off of my original assignment that you have given me? So it's very important, beloveds, that we check in with God first. We get instructions and we don't presume and we don't move forward according to our flesh and fleshly desires. It's very important that we ask God, we inquire of him. What do we do? How do we do it? And when do we do it? Because those are all aspects of inquiring. So it's important to do that. Otherwise, we will learn the hard way. You know, 2 Kings 3 is the account of the three kings. And, you know, you can read that whole account of the three kings who were moving around. And, you know, the Bible tells us how they got lost in the wilderness. They started off on a journey, but in the course of that journey, they got lost. They needed water for their animals that they were traveling with, and that they were at a place where there was no water and they were lost. And you know why they got lost in the wilderness, in a desert place? Because from the beginning, from the outset, they failed to inquire of the Lord from the beginning. And it was only in 2 Kings 3:11 that one of the kings, Jehoshaphat, now thought of that. Listen, we've been lost for a long time, guys. We've been moving around in circles. Our animals are tired. We're tired. They're thirsty. This is not good. We're going to end up perishing in this wilderness. And in 2 Kings 3:11, Jehoshaphat now says to the other kings, he said, listen, guys, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And so one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. And it was after that that they went to look for Elisha, and Elisha gave them instructions. Those are the instructions where he told them to, you know, to dig ditches. And after they dug ditches, we are told in the account that God supernaturally provided water from a place called Edom, and the trenches and the ditches were filled, and their animals were watered, and the whole nation was watered, and the solutions came. Why? Because they inquired of the Lord. Now, if they had inquired of the Lord from the beginning, they wouldn't have had to get lost. They wouldn't have ended up in the scorching sun, miserable, confused, lost in the wilderness. And that's what happens to many of us. We don't inquire of God, and we end up in a wilderness. We end up getting lost. You know, I'm sure they thought they knew better. I'm sure they were kings. Remember, after all, they were leaders. I'm sure they were like, oh, well, we're big kings. We are in leadership position. We know which way to go. We went to school. We went to university. I've been trained in this course, so I know the way to go. But they soon found out that with all their kingship, with all the servants that they were traveling with, they still got lost in the wilderness. Listen, beloved, doesn't matter how much you've been educated. It doesn't matter how much you think you know. Doesn't matter how much revelation you think you know, and understanding and what training you've gotten and equipment. But listen, if you do not bother to inquire of the Lord, you will still and can still get lost in the desert, in the wilderness, and go around in circles going nowhere. So let's learn to inquire of the Lord. And what happens when you inquire of the Lord? Well, when you inquire of the Lord, it will give you focus. When you inquire of the Lord, it will take your focus off of man. Because at that time when David, one of the occasions when he was inquiring of the Lord, men wanted to stone him. So when you inquire of the Lord, it takes your focus off of men, people who may want to stone you, and it causes you now to focus on God, who wants to direct you. When you inquire of the Lord, you not only get direction, it will give you strategy. When you inquire of the Lord, he will tell you of the outcome. He will tell you, listen, you will recover. You'll recover all. So you will know the outcome from the onset. When you inquire of the Lord, it will give you hope. It will give you encouragement. Because why? Because you know the outcome. When you inquire of the Lord, you'll not waste time. You'll not waste energy like the kings who were wandering around in the wilderness for 7 days. Nochal, 7 days. They could have saved time. They could have saved energy. They could have saved, you know, disappointment. And the end of that account, they didn't even have to go to war, because their initial reason for going out was to go out to war. But if they'd inquired of the Lord, they may not even have had to go out there to get to war. When you inquire of the Lord, you will gain increase. You will gain increase. And how do we do that? Very quickly, as we close this session, prayer is one way of inquiring of the Lord. When you pray, don't just talk to God, but have time to listen and to meditate, because prayer is about speaking to God, but also listening to God. So praying is one way of inquiring. So when we pray, we speak and we listen and we meditate on what he says. Worship also is another way to inquire of the Lord. It will lead you in the presence of God, where you can begin to inquire and where he can begin to speak to you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So let us leave here learning to inculcate the aspect of inquiring of the Lord as one of our lifestyles. Don't be like King Saul. King Saul started off inquiring of the Lord, you know, and he would regularly inquire of the Lord, but he ended up, his end was in consulting mediums. If you read 1 Chronicles 10, verse 13 and 14, it says, "So Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance." Who are you inquiring of? Are you inquiring of sangomas? Are you inquiring of astrology, horoscopes? And verse 14 said, "But he did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore, he killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse." So many of us, sometimes we've started off inquiring of the Lord. We've gone off track. Some people have started consulting mediums, sangomas, astrology, horoscopes. Others are consulting motivational speakers who are speaking secular humanism instead of the word of God. Some people are consulting humanistic teachings that teaches about self and branding self. Some people are inquiring from all sorts of wrong places. But when you and I inquire of God, we will never go wrong. Some people only inquire after pastors. And let me tell you, even men and women of God, so-called fivefold ministers, they can also be wrong sometimes. But when you inquire of the Lord, and in Zephaniah, I close with this 1:6, it says, those who have turned back from following the Lord and have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him. So there are those who have turned back. So in other words, the scripture is saying that when you don't seek the Lord, when you don't inquire of him, it can result in your turning back from following the Lord. It can result in your backsliding. And Saul, we've seen Saul as an example. He stopped inquiring of the Lord. He ended up consulting mediums and witches. May that not be our portion. I encourage you this week to make it a lifestyle. Keep on inquiring of the Lord. When you wake up in the morning, make it a part of your devotion. When you go to sleep at night, make it a part of your devotion. Do it daily. Do it every day. Inquire of the Lord for everything, for your life, for your purpose, for your family's purpose, for your relationships. Inquire of the Lord around your finances, how you should treat your finances, around your assignments. Inquire of the Lord around the ministry that God has given you. Let's be faithful and consistent and constant in inquiring of the Lord. God bless you real good. It's been another wonderful week of sharing God's rich and transformational word. Looking forward to talking to you next week. Love you lots.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Hello there, this is the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia on our SKM Radio National International Network USA with our co-producer Kayla Pajet. We are bringing you right now what we believe the Lord has laid upon our hearts, and therefore join us, whatever you are, as we engage together. I believe the Lord has got something to empower us as we walk with him. Apostle Josh Moyo, listen to this.
Yes, chapter 13, 1-3 of 1 Corinthians.
Verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, and I stood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things.
I want us to quote that verse together. You say that after me as I read. When I was a child,
when I was a child,
I spoke as a child.
I spoke as a child.
I understood as a child.
I understood as a child.
I thought as a child. But when I became a man,
I put away childish things.
This is the word I've said to us that... You don't have to say, for you ladies, you don't have to say when I was a woman. Because in the spirit, there's no gender. Yeah, we are all men. Come to think of it. The first woman came out of a man. So cool. It's important for you and I to understand what Paul is referring to there.
Yeah.
When I was a child, I behaved like a child, spoke like a child, thought like a child until I became a man. That tells you the levels of growth, doesn't it? That, yeah. You know, in life we are born, and I think the painful thing of any mother or any parent is to see a child that is not growing up. And Paul begins to use that analogy for you and I so that we can understand that there is growth in walking with God.
Amen.
And I think it's precious for us. Be encouraged tonight in our fortnightly Empower Night. There is growth as we walk with God. God expects you to continue to mature. And sometimes you don't see that you are growing. You are growing up in the things of God. But the more you stay with it, you see that there are some things that are falling away. There are things that God is building into your life. He says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. and I thought like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And I want to talk into that so that we can understand what God is bringing in our lives. So that also you can see and measure where you are as a child of God, how you're growing. Because oftentimes I feel the enemy will try by all means to keep you at one spot in your walk with Christ. And the desire is for you to keep on growing, keep on maturing, keep on seeing what God is doing in your life. The Bible says he who has begun a good work in us,
yeah.
He will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Somebody shout amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, along with those verses that I've just given you as a foundation, I want us to look at one of the stories that we know a lot, and we often quote about it. And actually, when I look at this biblical character, I love him and I relate with him on many levels. And this character is David. We know David is that young boy at the age of 17. He killed the big giant that was a trouble in the whole of Israel. There were strong men in Israel. There were powerful soldiers in Israel under Saul. There were well-trained military guys under Saul. But there was a giant in Israel that was in the opposite from the Israelites, from the Philistines' territory. And the Bible tells us no one could rise up and fight against this giant called Goliath until David came into the ring. And when David fought against Goliath, we all know what it took. It goes by the valley of Kedron. He picks up 5 smooth stones. How many?
Five.
And when he takes the 5 smooth stones, I find it very interestingly, I know etymologically, by interpretation of the scriptures, some men of God have said a representation of the fivefold ministry. That's fine. But I wanted to realize when he picked up the 5 smooth stones, we are also aware that it was only one stone that killed Goliath. Amen.
Amen.
And that helps us to understand that greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world.
Amen.
You and me are privileged by God to understand what God wants to do in our lives in this season. When David, in the prime of his life, at the age of 17, the prime of his life, he's strong, he's well-muscled, his feet, and he was ready to go. And the Bible says when Goliath came down, that opened up a passage in the stage for him to become the first king of Israel. But I want you also to realize that even when Samuel came looking for who to anoint as king of Israel, he almost would have missed who was to be the next king of Israel. Even the prophet of God would have missed who was to be the choice man of God. And the Bible says when David was picked by God and he became the first king of Israel, when you look at that verse, at that scripture, you'll find out in 1 Samuel, he fought many battles, even as a king. But I believe what I want us to see in 2 Samuel chapter 21 today, it is something that probably you and I might not be aware of, or oftentimes we don't realize the impact it creates in our lives and how you are affected in your Christian faith as you walk with God before Jesus Christ comes. Chapter 21 from verse 15. I'm going to ask someone once again to read for me from verse 15. It's an interesting read from verse 15 to verse 20. But I want you to read for me verse at a time, line by line, and let's see what the word of God says. So what you are finding here right now is, at this age, at this stage in David's life, he killed Goliath when he was 17. At this stage, he's about 40 in his life. So at 40, he's now the king of Israel, both kingdoms. But I wanted to see something is happening now in his life. And it says from verse 15, who's reading? Go ahead.
Now the Philistines were at war against Israel.
And I wanted to check that. It says the Philistines were at war. Somebody shout again.
Again.
Say it.
Again.
It's a simple truth that I wanted to pick up as we see the scriptures. That the enemies that you have fought in your previous Christian walk when you were just born again and you defeated them and you were happy that you were victorious, whatever it was, It could have been an addiction. It could have been an issue in your life, a fleshly issue or a weakness, or whatever, proclivity, a tendency to do certain old patterns or behavior. That enemy that you fought when you were in the prime of your life, when you're in your honeymoon stage of working with God, it will resurface again. That's what I want to say tonight.
Yeah.
I want you to get that. Because I think oftentimes, after every battle, there is a tendency of wanting to relax.
Yeah.
Mm. We all do it. We all find ourselves at a time as we are journeying with God that sometimes you just find yourself tired. It was a very common word used in my family during the COVID times, that kids were so tired of being around the house and watching the TV for gazillion times. And therefore, everybody would be saying, I'm tired. They're not tired of not going to work. They're just tired now being in the house every time. And I think it's a picture of what this generation is going through right now.
Yep.
I have a feeling that if you and I are not careful, we are caught up with this same disease. And it's the disease of, I'm tired. You can reach a place in your walk with God where you think, prayer, again? Next 40 night, you know, this is another message. Oh, gosh. Another prayer meeting? Again? So I want to talk to you tonight. Because I believe I'm talking to white people. Yeah? Yeah? Because, you know, you reach a point in your life where you think, church again? Sunday, church again? And that happens. David at 40 in his life, everybody in Israel was raving about David having killed a big problem, a national problem. Because Goliath was a national problem. And therefore, David is the light of Israel. Everybody was talking about him. You are with me tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then the Bible says, when the Philistines were at war again. And it is my heart is to make you aware that yes, you fought it, you overcame it. But are you prepared for the again? Because your unpreparedness for the again, when again takes place, what you defeated at one level, second level, it can take you down.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what I'm talking about. I told you that many of you that may not know my story, that what led me to a downfall is a very simple thing, because I was preaching. I was still preaching from the word. But the Lord said something that changed my life. That even in the times when I was in my darkest valley, in the time when I was down there and I was still reading the word, but I wasn't reading the word from here to here. I was now reading from here to here. Here to here. The problem is when the Bible comes from here to them, it means you are ministering from an empty tank. And there's nothing that is as dangerous in your Christian walk to run on empty.
Amen.
Ask the five foolish virgins, because at first they never thought they were foolish up until the bridegroom came. And when the bridegroom came, the Bible says, five who were wise, their lamps were burning high, and they had kerosene enough in their lamps. But the other five, they realized they were running low. And when the sound cry came about the bridegroom, they were not ready. And I want to push in that thing so that you can understand that in your walk with God, it's always important to check what level am I finding myself in. Usually you will know. You will know where your level is at. When you take the spiritual barometer and you begin to test yourself, where am I in my walk with God? Where am I now in my prayer life? What's happening around me? You can tell. You can tell because certain emotions begin to reveal themselves. That is why We know when certain things are happening in your life at different seasons of your life, people can say, oh, I think you are tired. Check it the way now you are talking. I think now you are hungry. Check it now you are grumpy and everything. We know because God has put sensors around your body so that everything around you is talking back at you. Am I talking to somebody tonight?
Yeah.
Listen. I haven't even finished that then, but I want to just talk about the again. Somebody said again.
Again.
Get ready for your again, because when again comes, it should find you ready. It should find you in a place where Paul says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Yes.
Lord, when my again comes, may it not find me when my prayer level is at a quarter.
Hallelujah.
When my game level, when my game comes in my life, may not find me when I'm now lethargic and I find myself so drained and I can't push to the second wind. May I find myself always ready. That's why the Bible says, pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
Because pray without ceasing does not mean be cuckoo and always wherever you are, everywhere. No. It means be always maintain a mindset and an attitude that says, God is my priority.
Yeah.
Am I talking tonight?
Yeah.
Listen. Verse 15, ma'am, you already.
David went down with his servants, and as they fought against the Philistines, David became weary.
I want you to understand that. Listen to what the Bible says. Philistines at war again with Israel. David? Remember David?
Yeah.
David is the boy that killed that giant. Remember David? David is the man that was the man of the season. Because David in his lifetime, he had killed an enemy that was a pest in the whole nation. Now he's king. And the Bible says, the Philistines, which are coming from the same giant, and here's the thing that actually now makes me to think. Other commentators and preachers and theologians, they agree. He picked up 5 smooth stones. Because when one killed Goliath, Goliath had 4 brothers. When you go through the scriptures, you then find out it's true. Who is rising now in David's life, now when he's king, are the 4 remaining brothers that were the giants. So he says that when the Philistines are at war again with Israel, David and his servants with him went down, fought against the Philistines, and David grew weary. Your other version says, and David was exhausted. Your other version says, and David was tired. Have you ever been tired? Fighting the same problem. What is happening in your life? Have you ever been tired?
Oh
my gosh. I've been at it for such a very long time. This thing is not going. It's a behavior. It's a tendency. You think you've overcome it here, but it resurfaces again and you find yourself tripping. Am I talking to the right thing?
Yes.
It's a tendency. It's a weakness of the flesh. Yes. Now you don't know what to do. Do I go to church? Do I... What do I now say to God? Because I said sorry to God for the first time. And I said, Lord, please forgive me the second time. And I said, Lord, please, you know my heart. I'm so sorry for the 4th time. And you kept... When you keep on tripping, your heart begins to condemn you. And you begin to become your own enemy. I don't know now what to say to God. Until the enemy makes your heart callous and you no longer want to go back to God and tell him about that thing. Because you've been tripping continuously. And I want to talk to somebody here today. And my word today is there is an again that comes over your life. But number 2, beware of the spirit of getting tired.
Okay.
Which I never forget, because you see, Apostle Steve Davis, he preached a message one time during the time of my restoration, and he said to me, Josh, you need to understand that everybody have their own forbidden fruit.
That's right.
Adam and Eve fell because they did not pay attention to all the things that God gave them. They did not pay attention that there is a tree with a fruit. I am not allowed to eat from. In your life, the truth is, your weakness is not my weakness. That's the truth. That people struggle with alcohol, I don't. That people who struggle with smoking, I don't. There are people here who struggle with unforgiveness, but others don't. There are people who find it very hard to say, please forgive me. Right? There are people we all struggle with the different proclivities and tendencies where we trip. And it's important that you understand what is my forbidden fruit.
Yeah.
Because to know it and acknowledge it helps you so that you don't keep company or walk that way whenever you go. Mm. Brother Ben,
sorry,
just be quiet.
No, that guy is doing something behind your back as well.
Yeah, that's fine, that's fine. Just sit down there quietly. Yeah. Thank you. So it's important that you and I understand what God is doing here. He's wanting you and I to understand that in our journey as we walk with God, there is something that is called my forbidden fruit. And it's important that I think if I understand that, I'll be able to pray a prayer that is more important than Jesus said, Lord, deliver us from evil and lead us not into temptation.
Amen.
Because if I know what is my forbidden fruit, I'll make sure. If I know that my problem is alcohol, I try by all means not to be with those friends of mine that enjoy drinking. That's it's simple as that. If I know that my issue is it's an anger issue, I try by all means to make sure that the friends that are around me are the ones that do not find themselves always loving to fight and create problems and arguments and stuff like that, because I know what is a situation in my life that I need to be aware of. The Bible says, David got tired.
Yeah.
when you read the story of David, you will find out that most of his temptations that found him, that caught him at a time, either when he was resting, when other kings were supposed to be at war, it was at the time when he was resting at home where he got tempted and he went into an affair with Bathsheba. Because when the time when he's supposed to be at war, he was at home. When you know your forbidden fruit, it helps you to overcome. Am I talking tonight?
Yes.
It's important that you find, you understand what is it.
Wow.
That if I'm not guarded, the time is right,
yeah,
and I'm all by myself,
yeah,
I'll trip. That's very wise for you to get tonight.
Yeah. Okay.
What is it that in my life, if I know that if I don't have people around me that can say, no, Josh, we don't go that way, I'll fail. If I know that, I'll put enough guardrails around my spiritual life. Because ladies and gentlemen, Christianity, you don't grow automatically. There is intentionality. Listen to what David, what Paul said. He said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. And I speak childishly.
Yeah.
Because I was at that level.
Yeah.
But as I kept on growing, I realized childish things, they need to fall off at certain times. So that I can become a man. Because I can't be a man and behave childishly. Talk to me, something.
Yeah.
So. What are the areas in your life where you can look right now where you are and you say, I know I'm growing. Because what was 2 years ago a problem in my walk with God is no longer a problem.
Yeah. Come on.
I know I'm growing. Because the thing that I used to hold grudge against, or the issue that I used to have in my heart, that if no matter how much I prayed and the Holy Spirit was convicting me, this one I would not let it go. But now when I look back, I can say, the Lord has delivered me.
Yeah.
How do I know that you are delivered? When you meet pressure, because you know you have overcome a situation, when you are faced with a problem, and when pressure amounts, what oozes out of you will tell us you are delivered. Yeah? Am I right about it?
Yeah.
Because it's easy to say, oh, you know, I don't even have any grudge against anybody. Because they're not people. When you are. Yeah? Up until they come and stir the same nerve.
Yeah.
Which they said 2-3 years ago. And then the truth comes up. And then you wonder, I thought I confessed and testified in church that that was not an issue anymore. What happened in there? Because the test of character, it is not in the smooth sailing of life, but is when things go wrong, when things are hard, and you'll be able to say, yes, I know, now I'm delivered. David was tired. When he killed Goliath, he was fresh. He was energetic. He fought that giant alone and he killed him. But now he's fighting the Philistines. And you're going to see something that's very interesting when you read that verse. Who's going to read for me the next verse, verse 16? Who's going to read for me the next verse? Mommy, you read your part. I want somebody to read for me the next verse. Yeah. Anybody? 16. Yep.
Verse 16. And Ishbibenob, one of the descendants of Rapha, whose bronze spearhead weighed 300 shekels and who was armed with a new sword, said he would kill David.
Now, there's this guy here. Ishbibenob. Very funny, weird name. Ishbibenob is one of the sons of the giant. That's what my version says. My vision says, he's coming from that lineage. So when you and I would conduct deliverance, that's what we do, don't you? The reason why we take you back to the generation of your family, it is because you can be saved here, but because your bloodline, it's still not sanctified until you cut things off.
Yeah.
You're with me, somebody?
Amen. Thank you so much once again. This is Apostle Josh Moyo from Western Australia, owner of SKM, Shimikoti Ministries Radio Network, with our co-producer, Kela Pajet. Catch you again next week. You're empowered for your destiny. This is the voice of destiny. See you next week.
Produced by Kela Pajet on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313, toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560, toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.